Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us. You know, cardiovascular disease is the number one killer of Americans, and it's the leading cause of hospitalization in the VA healthcare system. Joining us this morning, Dr. Terry Gleason, Acting Director, Clinical Science Research and Development for the Department of Veteran Affairs. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
And the war on heart disease, because certainly the number one killer overall, and it seems like we're kind of walking it, you know?
Absolutely, and we have an important focus on improving treatments for heart disease in the veteran population, mm-hmm. and that's a really important topic that we're talking about this morning.
Well, talk about that for a moment. Are veterans more likely to have heart disease, and what are some of the indications there?
Right. So the range of risk factors, of course, would impact any American as well as our veteran population. Our VA research program focuses on improving treatment and bringing new cures to veterans. But because heart disease is such a wide-ranging problem, our research actually positively impacts everyone when we have positive results for new treatments. So it extends way beyond the veteran population, mm-hmm. even though we're highly focused on caring for veterans.
Does PTSD have anything? Is there a correlation between that and heart disease for veterans?
Oh, that's a great question, considering both conditions are highly prevalent in our veteran population. Mm-hmm. But there is evidence to suggest the condition of PTSD also may be highly associated with cardiovascular risk factors mm-hmm. and cardiovascular disease. So it's important for us to be able to treat the entire entity of a veteran if they have PTSD and other risk factors associated with it.
Yeah, yeah, I can only imagine that. So, you know, we've got a lot of young kids coming out of the military, PTSD, different issues. Are you seeing the heart disease in our younger veterans?
Well, the risk factors for cardiovascular disease could be prevalent, mm-hmm. Not necessarily with age, but related to things like monitoring high blood pressure, mm-hmm. knowing whether they're a smoker or not a smoker, issues like high cholesterol, and of course obesity might not be so prevalent with young, but we are seeing obesity in the veteran population. Physical activity. It's important to monitor and actually have a high level of physical activity as well. So all of these factors may play a role in the development or even prevention of cardiovascular disease in veterans.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How about the women's population of veterans? How are they faring in heart disease?
Right. So, you know, oftentimes that's silent in terms of being investigated in women. I mm-hmm. think that's a pretty commonly known fact. But our women veterans would also potentially present with cardiovascular disease depending on risk factors. And we have the opportunity through our research program to examine whether there's any differences between men and women veterans mm-hmm. in cardiovascular disease as well.
So research, what have you found that has anything been startling or that you were really surprised about in this research on cardiovascular disease?
Well, I think the VA has a long history of really leading new knowledge from research in the VA studies that have been completed. And in fact, going back over the years, we've been publishing scientific results since the 1930s, if you can believe mm-hmm. that. We have brought new surgical methods and proven which surgical approach is more appropriate for cardiovascular disease. We have also participated in many trials looking at medications for heart disease, also for stroke, kidney disease. Mm-hmm. And again, the results from the research study are showing new ways to more effectively treat cardiovascular disease in veterans.
So are you currently doing any studies for veterans that they can participate in?
Yes. In fact, we have many studies. It's a pretty large research mm-hmm. portfolio in cardiovascular disease. We're looking, again, clinical trials, and our veterans are wonderful volunteers in research that we appreciate so much. And those trials are available to participate in for veterans at the within their local VA. But another point that I'd like to make is we're also conducting trials to look at preventing heart disease, kidney disease, and mm-hmm. so forth. And so those studies are just as important because prevention may stave off the conditions that we're talking about to begin with. And that's really important piece of this disease treatment puzzle that we're talking about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how do they find out about the research pieces? How can they participate?
So all of the local VA medical hospitals have research programs where veterans would be able to find out more information in person, but also electronically, of course. Our website has good details for veterans as well, and that would be www.research.va.gov mm-hmm. is a great source of information about what research is going on and also how to participate as a volunteer.
So who does the VA collaborate with, you know, for, you know, the optimal outcomes for their patients?
Right, that's a great question. VA research actually collaborates extensively with other federal agencies. I give you an example of a very large trial that we participated in. In fact, one of our VA researchers was a study lead in that trial that was conducted by the National Institutes of Health and really set the standard for the idea that it's so important to control blood pressure to prevent, again, cardiovascular disease. Mm-hmm. So that trial is a really good example of a collaboration. But we have many, many other partners, including pharmaceutical companies and others. So we widely collaborate because, as we said in the beginning, it's really a national problem that we're going after.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Where can veterans or anybody that wants to take a look find more information about this?
Yes, thank you. So if you look at our website, which is www.research.va.gov, there's lots and lots of information about research studies, including those on cardiovascular disease.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Can I ask, though, that, you know, with our veterans coming in with traumatic brain injury, spinal cord injuries, of course, PTSD, is that having any bearing on your research for cardiovascular disease?
Yes, that's such a great question because all of the conditions that impact our veteran population are questions that we'd like to pursue in terms of finding the most effective treatment for. Mm-hmm. So some of these things are highly related, such as traumatic brain injury and PTSD, but obviously physical health and mental health oftentimes go together. Mm-hmm. And so the entire realm of conditions that would impact a veteran would be areas that we would be interested in researching and bringing new treatments and cures to our veteran population as well.
That's great. I have a family of veterans, and my son is now serving. And, you know, I had another guy tell me just at the Walmart last week, he says, tell your son to make sure he makes copies of all of his records. And he was telling me his story about, you know, his records being lost and nobody could find them. And So it took a long time for him to get his treatment. Any tips on that?
Well, actually, the advice that you got at Walmart sounds great to me. Make a copy of everything. Mm-hmm. And it's an unfortunate case that you're describing, that things were lost. Our VA electronic health record is actually one of the leading examples of being able to accumulate mm-hmm. all of the healthcare data on a veteran and know exactly what the case looks like. So I'm wondering if something potentially fell through the cracks between the opportunity to have all the details in the electronic health record.
I would think so because he was an older veteran. So it was years ago for him.
Oh, so yeah. The paper-based file.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that is a great mm-hmm. piece of mm-hmm. advice. And I would say, first and foremost, we'd like to thank your son and other veterans for the service that they've provided mm-hmm. in meeting our entire country's needs. But hopefully this is maybe an isolated case related to the paper trail.
Yeah, he was an older veteran. So I said, I told him, I said, we've got technology today, so maybe it's not that way. Dr.
Right.
Terry Gleason, Acting Director for Clinical Science Research and Development at the Department of Veteran Affairs, talking about heart disease in our veterans. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for your time.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black, your host. And joining me this morning, TJ Reddick. He is the winner of the Food Network's Cooks versus Cons. How are you this morning, TJ?
I am fantastic, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're welcome. Cooks versus cons, you know, our minds naturally go to convicts, but that's not what the premise of the show is about, right?
Right. So the premise of the show is there are four competitors, and two of us are professional cooks, and then the other two of us are non-professional mm-hmm. Cooks that are just kind of hobbyists or sort of passionate people that participate in the field.
Oh, that's awesome. So tell us a little bit about you and how long you've been cooking. You know, what's your background? Did grandma hook you up in the kitchen? What happened?
Well, I have been cooking since I could walk. I have been professionally cooking now for the last 15 years, and I've moved from every position from a dishwasher all the way up to executive chef,
wow.
and now I'm running food and beverage operations for corporate dining services in the metro Atlanta area.
So when did you know this is what you wanted to do?
Like I said, I've been cooking since I could walk. You know, grandma, mama gave me all the skills that I needed, but I think Y2K and that big, huge computer bug scare mm-hmm. was probably the thing that shifted my focus from computers and computer technology to food and food services. Uh-huh. It's a passion I've always had. It's something I'm good at. And when I was a kid, my mom always told me, she said, you know, when you grow up, you find something that you absolutely love to
yes.
do, and you make that your career. And so that's I took mama's word, and I made that my career. And I've never worked a day in my life for the last 15 years, honestly.
Child, mama's always right now.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You follow mama's words.
Oh, my goodness. So what is your specialty? What do you really like to cook and you just throw down on?
I absolutely love getting in my kitchen at home and just pile driving through some Italian food.
Mm.
I love pasta. I love sauces.
Yeah.
I enjoy making my own sauces, marinara sauce, tomato sauce, carbonara sauce. I'm really fond of Alfredo sauce. I love my Alfredo sauce. My kids love my Alfredo sauce. So that would be my absolute favorite Italian cuisine.
So look, you won this competition. So tell
yes.
us what that was like and what were the dishes that you presented to the judges?
Oh, my God. It was fascinating. It really was. For years, you hear as a chef, you know, oh, your food's great, your food's good, from friends and family members. And there comes a point in time where you need, like, a real sort of validation. You know, you have paying customers
yeah.
that tell you it's good. You have, you know, siblings and friends that are kind of obligated to tell you that it's good. But it's one thing to also go up against a big, huge, sort of prosperous chef and then just kind of throw it out on the table, given some challenges, and then overcome it. So, I mean, it was a huge, huge, like, mind-opening revelation for me. It was awesome. The dishes I prepared, we were given some, huge challenges. One of them was we had to make a nacho appetizer with canned soup. Instantaneously, my mind was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up pulling it off. And so because I'm a chef, I tried to do something very fancy and different. And I did a three-bean vegetarian nacho with a roasted or charred corn white queso sauce with a roasted poblano guacamole, and the judges loved it. Mm-hmm. They absolutely loved it. It was the only dish that, as we were filming, they just kept eating and wouldn't stop eating it, and then they were like, you know, make sure you put this to the side. And it was funny because a bunch of the camera crew people came to me and was like, oh, my God, like, no judge has ever come on here and asked us to put their food to the side. Mm. So, and the judge that did that was Sunny Anderson, and she literally, she told me, she was like, you can cook for me anything, anytime. Like, this is amazing. So that was, I mean, just hearing the judges say the things that I've said about my own food, hearing it come out of somebody else's mouth was, I mean, it was mind-blowing. It really was.
Makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, my God, it was amazing. And then on top of that, to win the competition as a whole, I don't know if they'll show it, but I almost passed out. I was so taken by the moment. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. I said, because I've never competed in culinary, because I've only done culinary, and I've always been worried that if I competed, I would just have no direction in life. Mm-hmm. So this was my first big competition, and it was on TV, and it was out there. So I said, I was like, I would make my goals a little bit more realistic than just, everybody wants to win, but I would make my goals a little bit more realistic so I would have something to fall back on. And so I thought to myself, I said, okay, what can I focus on? I want to drink on TV, which is sort of weird. And this is just sort of one thing that I do, and I just enjoy doing it. And then I wanted to not lose in the first round so my kids could see me on TV. That was my whole focus. And once I accomplished those two things, I was good. And the second round came, and I was like, oh, okay. Didn't really plan for this one, but I mashed it out. It was great.
What did you make for the second round?
So the second round, and that's where it went kind of haywire and crazy. I had a plan to make what I call, and what I'm working on one of my new projects, is a chicken waffle sub, where there's like a barbecue sort of sweet tangy sauce that goes over it, and you make fried chicken. Basically, it's like day-old fried chicken that you take, and it's got to be day-old because the flavor has kind of set in then. But it's day-old fried chicken, and it's a waffle that you fold or roll up into like a sub roll, add a little lettuce and tomato, and it's a crispy fried chicken waffle sub with a nice, tangy sort of sweet chili sauce on top. That is not at all what I presented. That's what I said. But that is not how things rolled out. From the get-go, things just started going bad. I wanted to do cast iron skillet fried chicken. I wanted to do really nice waffles. And our challenge was we had cakes, so we had to work with cakes. And that's where I got the whole chicken waffle sub thing. And so it from the get-go, it just started off bad. They didn't have buttermilk there, so I had to modify something. And then they did bring some buttermilk, so then I was like, oh, my God, now I got to change this. I took too much time doing that. My chicken wasn't frying right. Ultimately, what ended up happening was I changed it completely into a chicken waffle taco because my waffles got a little too crispy. Still did the lettuce, tomato, a little queso, fried chicken. And then I took my barbecue sauce and made it a little bit chunky and made it like a sweet bourbon salsa instead of like a barbecue sauce. And it was fantastic. They loved it. I think the judges said that every element was in the dish. It was salty. It was sweet. It was, you know, you could taste the alcohol. There was
creative, tons
of acidity.
Yeah.
It was, they enjoyed it. So it was a great, awesome turning point. So, and as a chef, that's always one of the big things that we do. You know, we get hit with sort of an awkward moment or something that we're not prepped for, and we have to make adjustments. And so
you
I
gotta
did
make
it, and
lemons out of lemonade. You know, you got to make lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, so it was great.
But it's so good to be able to know food that way and know what's going to taste good together. Or do you always know that?
You know, the funny thing is several years ago, someone gave me, and I forget who, and I'm terribly sorry if you're listening to this, whoever it is, someone gave me for Christmas the Flavor Bible, and that has literally been my baby since that Christmas that I got that. And what I do is whenever I create a menu, think about food in my pastime, when I'm transporting somewhere, I will open that thing up and just look at flavor concepts and what goes together, what contrasts, and just develop, I guess, guess, my palate from what I already know certain things taste like to, you know, exploring different things when I go out to eat, you know, which is a rarity in its own self because no
right.
one ever wants to go out to
right.
eat with me because I'm terrible. but that's basically it, just kind of knowing the conceptual sort mm-hmm. of what things taste like, you know, what the flavor of umami is, what sweet and sour and tangy
right.
things go together.
Because right. Everything doesn't go together, you know?
Yeah, you know, while I was in college, we had a project, and it was I had a teacher who was very adamant about thinking outside the box. And so for a dessert competition, I created a habanero mango sorbet. And mm-hmm. I say competition, I never entered it actually into the competition, but mm-hmm. everybody loved it who tasted it. I just never entered it because I didn't want to fail. But I like things like that, that are just completely abstract.
That is very abstract.
That you just
right
throw
there.
Them together,
yeah.
sweet and salty and, you know, heat and sweet. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, just knowing that is awesome.
Let me ask you this, and on a personal level, you spent 16 months in Iraq. My son went to Afghanistan, longest time of my life. How did that change you?
Iraq gave me a lot of things in my life, actually, like Iraq, have given me focus and direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I took one major lesson from Iraq. If you can change it, change it. If you can't, let it go and keep it moving.
Oh my gosh.
And I say that because there was a moment where we were sitting outside at what is called an entry control point. And one of the soldiers said, "Oh, God, it's hot." And I thought to myself, like really deep, but I thought to myself, I said, you know, you saying that doesn't change the weather. Everybody already knows that it's hot, and probably the breath from your mouth is probably going to make it even hotter.
Right,
just
right.
kind of joking.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought to myself, I said, you know, we can't change anything about the weather. We can't change anything about being here in Iraq and wearing the gear and being hot. So let's focus on other things. Let's just keep it moving, you know, and that is really the
wow.
the focal point that I drove from Iraq. And
that was
I just
pretty simple. A simple
kind of wired
you know?
That in and honed mm-hmm. it to my own personality.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So we're going to get a chance to see this on the Food Network because they're going to air it again. The big presentation was on last week. So they'll air it again. So make sure that you check out the Food Network
yes.
see this show, Cooks versus Cons, TJ Redick from Atlanta. We are so proud of you. The winner of that show. Thank you so much for joining us. And tell people where they can find you.
Currently, right now, I am working on several different projects. Like I said, I'm running food and beverage operations in the Metro Atlanta area. I do have my own
mm-hmm.
Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
It's Chef TJ or TJ the Chef at Instagram.com. I also have my own Facebook page, which is under my catering company that I also have, which is JDR Food Services. Acting as JDR Catering Co.
Okay.
And that's the Facebook site, JDR Catering Co. At Facebook.com. And then we're also working on a website which hasn't been published yet. We took it down and we're kind of making some changes to it. And there's also one other project that I'm working on, and I'm a little shy to throw it out there, but it should be debuting, if not by this summer, then definitely by next March. And I'm really excited and looking forward to that.
All right. TJ Redick, winner of the Food Network's Cooks versus Cons. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.